And we'll be reading in verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would reveal your heart to us. Reveal our own hearts to ourselves. Reveal the sufficiency and grace that are in our Savior, Jesus Christ. The means that are at our disposal through the Holy Spirit. Again, I ask for strength, for voice, for my body, and the wisdom to follow your Spirit and to speak your word in the power of the Holy Spirit. For I ask it for the glory of your kingdom, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay. It was my fault.
All right, Jimmy. Give you the look. I was sitting in this chair last night praying for this morning's service. And as I was praying, the impression that came to me was of how much pain and fatigue is normally sitting in these chairs on a Sunday morning. You can't see it necessarily. Sometimes you can, but it's there. And this passage of scripture came to my mind, and I was different other passages came to my mind, and then as we were coming to church this morning, we were listening to KSBJ, and I think the scripture of the day was this passage. And then I think one of the songs that we sang had this concept, and he restores my soul. So let's just look at this passage this morning. It says in verse 25, at that time, speaking of the time when he's just got through laying it to the unrepentant cities of Israel. It says, at that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." You know, Paul says something similar. He says, he talks about the power of the gospel and the power of the cross. And he says, if you, to those in Corinthians, in the church of Corinth, he says, "How not many of you are wise according to this world? Not many of you are learned. You don't get spiritual knowledge, and you don't get knowledge of God through degrees. It's not a matter of intellectual excellence. It's a matter of God revealing himself and his Son to you by his Spirit." And he likes to show his wisdom and his power by at times picking the least likely in our mind to reveal himself to. He says, "Yes, Father," verse 26, "for such was your gracious will." Verse 27, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father." And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. When you have spiritual insight, when you begin to understand who God is and who Jesus is, that's God's work in you. That's not an achievement. That's a gift. It's according to his good pleasure. And Jesus says, to those who I choose to reveal him. Then we come to the center, what I really want to focus on. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To me, you have two categories. Those who labor and those who are heavy laden. I would say that probably there are some of you this morning that are laboring and you're tired. Maybe physically tired, but more your soul is tired. You just don't seem to be able to get it right. You're frustrated by the same sin coming over and over and over again. You think, when am I going to get a grip on my temper? When am I going to learn to control my tongue? I can't believe it. I said it again. I did it again. I said I wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to say it. I was just going to keep quiet. I was just going to keep my mouth shut. And some compulsive behavior. I can't believe I did that again. And you're just thinking, oh, what's the use? You come exhausted from trying to measure up. And maybe you're trying to measure up to God, or maybe you're trying to measure up to people. You know, it's something that there is something inside of us that we are programmed to measure. I think I might have said this last Sunday, I said to somebody. But when we come into this world, we're measured right away. What do you ask when somebody had a baby? What do you say? How big was he? How much did he weigh? From the very beginning, we're being measured. And somehow we think if we measure well, then we are better people. It's according to some kind of social standard. And we carry that on into our relationship with God. If I can just measure up, again, how many of you were raised in a Southern Baptist church a long time ago? I submit this way. How many of you remember the envelopes? And what did it have on those envelopes? It was your offering envelope. It had Sunday school, offering, Bible reading, attendance. Visitation. You had all these little boxes to check off, and you made and it said 10%. I'm like, huh, this is so crazy. You had 10%. Didn't remember it had 10%, 10%, 10%, 20%, 20%. And you could make 100. What were they thinking? I made 100 this week. So he's right here. Of course, I lied about the Bible reading. But they said, check your paper. Take your own paper. But see, there's this mindset that somehow we can do enough right things. We can check off certain boxes and go, oh, I go to bed today, and God is happy with me. Or most of the time we say, I checked those boxes, but I still don't feel like God's happy with me. We are constantly trying to fight sin. And we focus on sin. And sin says, and when we focus on sin and trying to fight sin, sin goes, pop, 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 pop. I'm a Christian. I'm dedicated. I'm committed. Let's go at it again. Pop, 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 pop. Or maybe we finally get that one down. Oh. But then another one shows up. And then another one, we got that one down. Another one shows up. And another one shows up. Oh, it's like whack-a-mole. And whack-a-mole doesn't work with sin. Because you think you got one, and you say, okay, we'll come up a different way. The way we deal with sin is by asphyxiation, not by whack-a-moling. We starve what feeds it by focusing on the affection of God for us, the grace of God for us displayed in the cross. As we focus on Him and keep Him in our minds, keep the God's grace in our, keep our identity in mind, keep God's love in mind, that sort of takes the oxygen away from the sin, so to speak. And it loses its grip. It doesn't go away, but it loses its grip. And some people are so tired and fatigued in their soul. And that's some of you. It says, those that are heavy laden. Some of you are not so much tired of striving, it's just the weight of the cares of this world. The weight of relationships, of people you love that are hurting and being destroyed physically or spiritually or some other way. Maybe you're struggling on the under the weight of your own physical shortcoming, your disease or whatever it is. And you just feel like you just can't take another step forward. You just feel so weighted down. And usually it's by anxiety. It's about the future, because usually most anxiety is about not today. It's not about what's happening now. It's about what's going to happen. What if? 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 Today, everything's, how's it fine? Well, it's fine right now, but. They say, stop worrying. Thank you for that. I want to stop worrying. I say, I'm not going to worry. I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to stop worrying. Not worrying a bit. That doesn't work either. You think we get tired of trying to make it work. To get it, to make it happen. And Jesus said, there's another way. He says, come to me. He doesn't say, believe certain doctrines about God or certain doctrines about Jesus. He says, don't do certain spiritual rituals necessarily. Don't just go to church, do religious stuff. He says, come to me. A real live person who we can't see right now. One day we will see him But we cannot see him physically, the person of Jesus, now. But we can still come to him. There are several times when Jesus says, come to me. And if anyone is thirsty, come to me. If anyone's hungry, come to me. He has this invitation. You say, but I don't, you know, I've not been a Christian very long. I don't know. How do I come to Jesus? Okay, I'm going to give you a lesson in coming to Jesus. Jesus, help. I can't do this. I am tired. I quit trying to fix myself. If you don't, I won't. If you don't take it, I guess I'll have to keep it. Help me, Jesus. That's what it is. Believing that he's really there, at least believing enough that he's there to call to him and say, I give up trying to fix it and to make it happen and to be strong. Help me. I hear your call, so I'm responding. I don't know much about the Bible. I don't know. I'm terrible at praying. I just can't seem to get those things right. I'm trying to fix them, but I can't get those right. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. He's saying you can kind of take a deep breath. I'm not grading you, Jesus would say. I'm not asking you to measure up. I'm asking you to depend upon me. Call upon me. Let me do in you what I want you to do and what the Father wants to do. Take my yoke upon you. Now, what's a yoke? It's a thing that goes around your neck. It can be in several different ways, but at this time it was the way a yoke was something you put on oxen. You had two oxen and you put this thing around them so that they would walk, and you attach it to a wagon or whatever you wanted to pull, and they would pull together. He says, take my yoke upon you, which implies I'm not just going to give you rest, I'm going to give you purpose. It's not all about taking care of you. It's about equipping you, empowering you, allowing you to fulfill the destiny that God put you on earth for. Because you know what? Everybody has been put here for a purpose. And that purpose is glorious. And he says, take my yoke upon you. You be united with me. And learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. What's that mean? I'm gentle and lowly. It says, well, he's humble. It's another word, for humility. I don't know if you heard about the guy whose club that he was. He was in an organization that recognized him and gave him a pin for humility. Then he wore it and they took it away. You know, you can't go bragging about your humility. But Jesus seems to be saying, I am humble. Learn from me, I am humble. But he can say that. But what does it mean for him to be humble, gentle, and lowly in heart? I think we see some of this in John chapter 5. Verse 19. Now Jesus has healed a crippled man on the Sabbath. And that really got the religious people all mad. Because you're not supposed to do stuff on the Sabbath. You're supposed to keep it holy. And Jesus healed a man and told him, take up your bed and walk. And he took up his bed and walked. And the Pharisees said, what are you doing walking with your mat around all the day? Like, you're not supposed to keep carrying stuff like this. He said, well, the man who healed me said to take up my bed and walk. Well, who is it that told you to take up your bed and walk? Not who healed you. Who told you to take up your bed and walk? It shows you how distorted when we try to live by religion and by rules and by measuring stand and by standards, and when that's the cause, that's where we see the violation of the rule. We don't see the work of God in the midst of it. So, it says in verse 18, right before it, this was why Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal to God. But in verse 19, it says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. That kind of brought me up the other day when I was reading it. Jesus says, I can't do anything. I can do nothing. Wait a minute. Who is this that's saying, I could do nothing? He's the one at the very beginning of this book of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This one was in the beginning with God. Through him all things were created, and apart from him nothing that was created was created. That came into being apart from him. And he says, I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing. Verse 30 in that same chapter says this, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus says, I can do nothing apart from God, the Father. I am gentle and lowly in spirit. He says, I do not do things on my own initiative. What I do on the initiative of the Father. The things I do by the power of the Spirit who the Father sent upon me. I am dependent upon the Father to do the work of the Father. So when Jesus says, learn from me, what's he saying? Learn to know that you do the work of the Father by relying upon the Son and the work of the Son in you. One of my favorite verses right now is Galatians 2:19-21. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. We are saved, we are justified, we are declared righteous by faith in the Son of God dying for us, for our sins. We are declared righteous before God, declared approved, stamp, boom, approved by God because of the cross of Christ and by faith in the cross of Christ that was sufficient for us. But we are sanctified, we are made into the image of Christ by faith in the Spirit of Christ. We are justified by the cross of Christ. We are sanctified by the Spirit of Christ, by faith in the Spirit of Christ. We don't say, okay, we're saved by faith, and now we got to work it out with our works. We work it out by faith in Christ. Look at John chapter 15. Oh, I'll just go with this. I can read this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me just stop there. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It didn't say, apart from me, you cannot do spiritual stuff. Apart from me, you can do nothing that is according to the will of the Father. Going back to the chapter 11 passage, Matthew chapter 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't mean pain-free. Jesus said, if you be my disciple, you would what? Take up your cross and follow me. That sounds a little bit different than this. He says, when you take up your cross and follow me, you may have pain in your body. You may have things pressuring your soul, but you will find rest as you abide in me. So how do we walk under this yoke? How do we depend upon the Spirit? How do we exercise faith in the Spirit? Well, I mentioned, I think it was last week, when I talked about sailboats. Was that last week or week before last? Last week? Thank you. Our life is like a sailboat. It requires wind to propel it. To live a life that's like Jesus's. And Jesus' life was basically one that said this. Remember when he was talking to the woman at the well? And she came and he revealed that he was the Christ to her. And she ran off and told all the people, you know, and she was a very bad woman. And she went and told the Samaritans, and I found the Messiah. And after she leaves, the guys who had gone up for hamburgers came back and they said, here's your hamburger. And he said, I'm not hungry. He went all that way, brought you back something to eat, and you're not hungry? I've got food that you don't know about. Somebody brought you something to eat. What's he say? My food is what? To do the will of the Father or the one who sent me. I love steak dinners. And what Jesus is saying here, doing the will of my Father is better than eating a steak dinner. And that's what maturity in Christ is about. For his will is better than eating. Doing his will is better than eating. But to get to that point, we need the Spirit. We have to depend upon the Spirit. And the Spirit is a wind. And the Spirit blows as he wishes, when he wants to, as he wants to. We can't control the spirit any more than you can control the wind. You can say, well, I think we need a wind about 10 o'clock today. And earlier yesterday, saying, you know, maybe we were playing golf or something. But, you know, we can turn this wind off right now so I can drive. We can't control that. We cannot control this Holy Spirit either. But we can put ourselves up so that when the wind comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he can propel us into maturity of Christ. We can live a life that is yoked to Jesus, that's taken on the burden of Jesus. It begins to look like Jesus and love like Jesus. But we have to have ourselves up. Now, one of the things I want to do on Sunday nights, we're going to change it. We've been going through books of the Bible, but we're changing that. It's about talking about getting our sail up. How's that? What's that look like? It's responding to things that, like, to the, you know, what was talked about this morning in worship or in Sunday school. Working that out, having time of prayer. Now that'll clear out a place. Prayer meeting, and I understand. I don't like to pray. Did that come out? It's hard. It's, don't look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's hard. Because I don't think Satan likes us to do it. I pray, but I don't like to. It's very easy to stop praying and say, oh, I think I'll get into the Bible. But prayer is a sail. It's how we come to Jesus. And if you come tonight and you say, I don't know, I'm not really, I don't feel comfortable praying, join the leader. But just because we don't like to do it and you can't have a hard time to do it, doesn't mean that we don't do it. We do it. And there's other ways that we'll talk about in terms of, like, you know, putting up sails. But it's ways of keeping Jesus ever before us. The psalmist says, I've kept the Lord ever in my on my right hand. I kept him ever before me. So you're invited to that. If you don't want to come here, do it with somebody. But you need to learn. You can't just, you need to learn how to get those sails up and keep the sail up all day long, because you never know when the wind's going to hit. And when the wind comes, we will be with under the yoke with Jesus. And we will find rest for our souls. Because his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. Being yoked to Jesus is true freedom. Freedom to be what God created us to be. If you're hurting, if you're tired, come to Jesus. And don't feel like you're all by yourself. I look around, everybody else seems to be doing fine. I just heard somebody say, you know, we see, when on Sunday mornings, we see everybody's highlight reel. You're not seeing the other part of it. You see everybody's highlight reel on Facebook. Everybody's dealing with fatigue, soulish fatigue, and soul burdens. But every one of us is invited to come to Jesus and say, take it. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Let's pray. Jesus, help me. To live my life in total dependence upon your Spirit that provides your strength, your wisdom, and your mercy, and so many other things that you want me to have to bring glory to you. I pray that this morning there will be those in this room who have been carrying the weight for so long who will just give it to you, and that you allow them to experience rest. Empower us to live our lives like Jesus. Not living by the question, what would Jesus do, but what is Jesus going to do in us and through us? I ask that you would do this based upon the word that we read this morning, the invitation that Christ gives to us. We accept the invitation. Now we wait for your gift. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As usual, we'll come down and get the elements.